Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and we'll be sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journeys of recovery from alcoholism. So to start the sharing off this morning, Kim, would you like to share?
Thanks. My name's Kim and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kim.
It took me a while to recognise this fact. You hear people share about everything that they've lost. I've never had anything because I drank all my life. People say that it's hereditary and there was no alcoholics in my family. There was no disaster in my life. I had a spoiled childhood. In fact, I thought it was a boring childhood, but there was no violence or abuse or anything like that. Mum didn't even ask us to tidy our rooms. A loving yet messy childhood. So, and she was on the PTA. So how could I be an alcoholic? I knew which cutlery to use. So it did take me a while to accept that fact that I was. And there's a story in the Alcoholics Anonymous book, the big book. I think it's called The Crossing the River of Denial, and it just says, if you imagine somebody standing on a bridge over a river and their pants are on fire, they don't go, "Ooh, why are their pants on fire?" They jump in the river, which is fortunately what I did with AA. There was a few scares. I went to a few... I used the revolving door policy of AA for a bit. Would go to a meeting and then go home via bottle store. I then worked out that if I went to lunchtime meetings, I could start drinking earlier. So, my work took me to different places, as in either offices or homes. And if I was alone and there was alcohol, I would find it and I would drink it. And vodka and top it up with water or wine, which I'd rearrange the bottles for. My greatest fear was if I was offered a drink after work, that the normies, as we call them, would recognise that I'd watered it down. But fortunately, normies didn't recognise it. I won't call them stupid, but so I decided one day, I decided one day that I would replace everything that I drank, and I'd worked out everybody was out, who was out and things. So I bought about three bottles of vodka and a couple of bottles of wine, and I went home and I drank a bottle of vodka. Left a note from a... I thought, this can't be... I can't do this, and I can't let the boyfriend at the time catch me drunk again. So I went round to a girlfriend's place who I knew she was out, but I knew how to get into her house, and she knew how to get into mine. I wasn't just breaking in. And the idea, honestly, was to sober up. But I took the alcohol with me. So, of course, I drank the rest of it over two or three days. Apparently the neighbour was coming in and feeding me noodles, which I can't remember. I do remember just sitting in front of TV and crying, and I think I actually did ask for help. And I also did decide that I should belong to a club and meet new people. Little did I know that it was going to be AA. And after running out of alcohol, I do remember my last swig, which was taking the empties to the recycling bin, and there was literally a swig left in the bottle. And I swigged it and put it in the bin. So I'd be another day sober if I hadn't taken that that swig. And I walked home and I, shall we say, I didn't make it to the toilet. So I decided it must have been the noodles, and went home and lay on the couch in fetal position for 2 days. The second day deciding it's time that I stopped using the revolving door and actually used the door and closed it behind me and stayed in AA. And that was 6 and a bit years ago. I usually know my days. And life has changed immensely. It's just so much better. I've got a life I want to live now. I'm gainfully employed. I've got pets. I've got an address, which means I can get pets. I've got, just a whole world has opened up. The fellowship is very strong for me because I drank a lot of my friends away. They couldn't keep up. I was very proud of drinking people under the table, but they'd disappear. And then I lost a couple of friends also by giving up alcohol because they weren't interested in a sober Kim. So fortunately, the fellowship has provided me with friends as well, friends and support. I didn't know what to expect when I got into AA. It's more than I'd ever would have ever thought was possible, really. I mean, it's not just that your sponsor that you can ring. I've got numerous heaps of phone numbers on my phone that I know I could ring any of them. Some of them, unfortunately, have disappeared. And after you've been around a while, you do worry about them. But there's nothing you can do. You can carry the message, but you can't carry the man or woman. There's others that, and other times you just think, they're but the grace of God. I count my blessings, attitude of gratitude that I have found the rooms. And they say if you don't get AA, AA will get you. And I'm glad it's been mutual. I got AA and it got me. So I'm going blank now. Yeah, it's a great journey. I encourage anybody to get to a meeting. As they say, get numbers, listen to the similarities when you're at your first meeting. Not just your first, all of them. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in, creed, colour, race, religion, doesn't matter, short, fat. AA's undiscriminating. Oh, it is too, but so, and alcoholism. Somebody like a skater boy and a matronly primary school teacher have similarities in their stories, even if it's just to wet their hide their bottles, which we all did. I just used to hide them under the clothes in my room because I'm still untidy. Mum never taught me to tidy my room, you see. Not that I really blame my mother for anything. It's a disease that I've got that I used to be the why me's, but now I'm actually grateful for it because I can't imagine me without AA. I can't imagine my life without AA. It's free counselling and you've got so much support in every walk of your life, not just the not picking up that first drink, but in every walk of your life. So I will continue to have an attitude of gratitude and keep going back to meetings, as they say. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share is Vic. Do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name is Vic, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vic.
And thanks, Kim. I can relate to almost everything that you said. I started drinking at a very young age, 14 years old. Seems like a lot of us started around 13 or 14. And I thought alcohol was the wonder drug. This was the magic that I had been looking for that just completely overhauled my personality, made me popular. I felt good, and this whole idea that this was some kind of magic stuff, but in the end it turned out to be black magic, basically a curse, you know. In the beginning, when I felt good, was certainly different to in the end when I drank to avoid feeling bad, because alcohol had become such a constant in my life. That was the one thing. I had a reputation in high school as an alcoholic, and it was something that I cultivated, and I didn't mind. I accepted that fact. I could live with it as long as the collateral damage wasn't too bad. I would generally feel lightheaded, but I was usually headed eventually for blackouts. And the difference between blacking out and passing out, I found out later after I got into AA, was that in blacking out, I still operate normally and everything. And people, I can't even remember anything that I did. I'd have to call up people and say, that was a great party last night. Tell me, did I have a good time? You know, and they say, well, you know, things like that. It gave me a sense of freedom to drink. But in fact, what was happening was that slowly the chains of very subliminal dependency started wrapping themselves around me, and I became less and less free. I became less free to exercise options to do this, that, or the other if alcohol wasn't involved. And my world became more and more constrained over the years as I drank. In fact, eventually, I drank away all of my friends. I drank away several wives. I drank away a couple of houses, a few jobs, most of my children, because I was I was emotionally unavailable. And I finally wound up with the end result for me for alcoholism, which was, and I didn't discover this until I came into AA, and they told me, you know, it's the disease of loneliness. And I never realized that that was the problem. I had drank myself into a very, very dark room. And in that dark room, I would watch Netflix and develop my negatives, which was thinking about, you know, how I'd wasted my life and this, that, and the other, the regrets, the remorse, all that carry on. Of course, those were triggers that kept me wanting to drink more. I didn't want to think about those things. I tried to avoid emotional pain. And that had been something that I'd done ever since I was a teenager and didn't feel that I was accepted by the gang. And I thought, well, you know, that's okay. But, you know, as long as I was a jolly, sort of crazy, nutty alcoholic, there was a certain degree of acceptance. And I thought, well, okay, that's my nick, you know, Vic the drunk. But that wasn't such a good nick to have when I was 45, 50 years old, because I never was violent when I drank, but I became more and more and more reclusive. And in the end, I had nothing left except Jim Beam and Johnny Walker and my TV. But that was it. No life at all. My body had completely packed up by that point, and it was only when I woke up one day in an ambulance on the way to the hospital because I'd collapsed on the street. I hadn't been drinking that day. I was on my way to pick up alcohol, but my body had just completely packed up. And the doctors told me after they did the tests that my lifespan future was very, very short, and I could expect maybe 2 more years at the rate I was going. And when they explained to me all the things that were wrong with my liver, my kidneys, this, that, and the other, and suggested, well, told me that if I wanted to live any longer, I had better stop drinking, I realized that I needed something that would work. I'd tried everything else. I'd tried women. I'd tried drugs. I'd tried rock and roll. I'd tried, you know, religion, you name it. I'd tried it. Read philosophy books. I'd never really tried AA. I knew about it, but I didn't really know about it. That's like somebody who knows about love but has never been in love, you know? Well, I got into the first AA meeting, and I suddenly realized I wasn't alone and isolated anymore. The people in this fellowship were talking about the same emotional emptiness and loneliness and despair and all that kind of stuff that I had experienced when I had been drinking towards the bottom of my drinking days. And I thought, you guys know everything about me. You've described me, and yet you are living productive, happy, apparently happy lives without alcohol. How did you do it? And they said, hey, we got this plan. Because my idea to go to AA was just maybe I could have my cake and eat it too if I could control my drinking so I didn't get into these situations where I was worried about what I said or this, that, or the other. And they said that actually we've got an allergy. It's a disease. And unlike other diseases, we can't go to a doctor to fix it. The only way that we've been able to hold it in remission, they didn't say cure, they said hold it in remission, is to go to these meetings and remember that we're alcoholics and that we're just a special group of people, like diabetics or bipolar people. There's no, you know, you can go to a doctor who will give you pills and for stuff like that, like they do for depression. But basically speaking, it doesn't really bring out your personality if you're dosing up with all kinds of depressive pills and stuff. And I wanted to bring back that personality that I had when I was 11 or 12 years old, when I was curious about the world. I was excited. Things that were intellectual interested me. And I wasn't interested in anything anymore. You know, my life was boring, stupid, and glum. And in the big book, which is the book of AA, they even have a chapter where the person says, well, I don't want to become sober and become like those boring, stupid, and glum people that I know that, you know, are teetotalers. Well, this wasn't what it was like, because the people in AA were quite interesting and had all kinds of different things going on in their lives. They said, if you want what we have, do what we do. So I swallowed my pride and my huge ego and realized that I could not get well by myself and that these people had the power to do that. So I made AA my higher power. I thought to myself, okay, if I can spend half as much effort in AA as I spent in maintaining my drinking supply, maybe there's a chance for me. And after a while, like you said, I started to enjoy going to the meetings because I met people that I clicked with as friends eventually, and they would help me solve problems. I had a sponsor who was a person who took me through the AA 12-step program. And I realized that it wasn't just a program to stop drinking. It was a program to develop a new way of thinking, to rejig my values so that the world didn't revolve around me anymore, then I could get a feeling of usefulness by helping other people. And the people that I could most help were those who had helped me because they'd given me a new life. And it's a life where I didn't have a desire to drink anymore. I had a desire to get back and do the kinds of things I was doing when I was really young before I sort of got swept away in the tide of alcohol. And that's what's happened to me since I've been in AA. And one of the major things that I try and do is service back to the fellowship. You know, I sponsor people. I have a sponsor who helps me. And we get involved in all kinds of different things. Some of these people, as I said before, have become good friends of mine. And it's just a whole new way of life. AA for me hasn't been just a slight little change. It has been a total reformation of my personality in a lot of ways. I listen to people when they're talking, not to wait my turn to tell them what I think, but because I'm interested in what they have to say. I'm not nearly as judgmental as I am or as I used to be. But at the same time, I don't go on the defensive when people come out with their judgments on me. That's their stuff. I know who I am now, and I can stand on my personality like a person who's standing on hard rock when the waves come in, rather than standing on soft sand and, you know, being swept away from it under my feet. And if people don't like the way I am now, well, that's their problem. But I can accept that. Everybody is who they are. That's why they did what they did. And I can't change other people. So life is pretty good now. And I can't say enough about this fellowship. So if you're out there and you have a problem with alcohol, you can give AA a try. And as Kim said, it eventually will catch you if you keep coming back to these meetings. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vic. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have our members of the fellowship in, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journeys of recovery from alcoholism. Our last speaker this morning is Rosie. Would you like to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Rosie and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rosie.
My relationship with alcohol has defined most of my life so far. Vic was saying, I was 14 when I discovered drinking, and previously to that I'd been quite a nervous child, outgoing but with low self-confidence. And what I loved most about drinking was that it gave me the confidence to go to parties and have fun. And after that, my life revolved around going to parties and having fun. And my schoolwork suffered when I barely scraped through university. Friends of mine would tell me while I was still at school that I drank too much, and that my problem was that I didn't pass out, which I suppose is a problem. I discovered later on that several day binges benders don't end up too well. I was first admitted to hospital for a charcoal stomach pump when I was 18 after taking too many pills, and I was first arrested when I was 21. That would be followed by many, many more nights I spent in jail for things that just seemed so unbelievably out of character, all committed in blackout. I blacked out from pretty much my first drink. All I thought that alcohol was bringing me was freedom. I'd always wanted freedom. I always wanted to travel, and which was fortunate because none of my friends at home would drink with me anymore. So I moved around the country for work and university and found new friends. And then I moved overseas, which is where I had intended to explore Europe. Instead, I explored my bedroom, which is where I sat every day after work with three bottles of wine and all weekend with some tabloid newspapers, which I could read over and over because I'd always forget what had been said in them. And I was absolutely miserable. I had been on antidepressants for several years because it was a family affliction, and I didn't really understand the relationship between these pills and with alcohol. I recognised very early on when I was about 21 that I was an alcoholic and that it was genetic and that I shouldn't have children, and I accepted that, and it also gave me carte blanche to just not grow up, really. So I thought that I was, having this great time. I had to come home from my new life in London three times, once to go to rehab and the others when I was drinking. The last time was when I was 34, which is when I came back into the rooms of AA. I first came into AA when I was 29, and I was really nervous, but while I listened to people, I listened to their drinking histories and decided whether or not they drank more than me or they drank less than me. I didn't listen for the similarities or the differences or to what they were saying, and I didn't get a sponsor because I didn't like being criticised. It made me really unhappy. Then I went back overseas where I thought I was going to begin my dream life again. And when that turned into chaos, I sunk into a huge, deep depression. I used to go and hang out on the train platform at night and contemplate ending it. But the only reason the only thing that got me through the day was drinking, which I relied on completely. I had long, long ago stopped going out and going to parties and going to nightclubs. I could only go out to a party or something if I had drugs as well, so I started taking drugs a lot. But most of the time, I was just lonely all by myself. While my friends of the same age were getting on with their lives, I was, just absolutely miserable. And I came home and got back into the program. Went back to AA, and this time I took people's phone numbers and I called those numbers and I texted those people, and I still didn't like talking about myself very much. I preferred being by myself, but I began to understand the real meaning of freedom, and that freedom was that I had choices and options of what I could do with my life. And my career by now, which I had prepared for so assiduously, was now completely tanked. And so I decided when I was coming up to 40 that I now had the freedom and the confidence to choose a new career and work towards it, and one that I hope will be helpful. And I've received nothing but support from friends. Friends have started coming back now, and my family. I took great wallowing interest in blaming my parents and my family for my drinking, whereas the fact was I didn't need any excuse to drink. If I felt good, if I felt bad, if I felt lonely, if I felt happy, often I would get a desire. Often I would be able to sit in a pub all night and not feel like drinking at all, but other times I might be walking down the road and a sudden feeling come over me and I'd develop a huge craving. And these cravings were just so hard to resist. I would go to any length to satisfy them. Travelling, you know, doing really bizarre, really, really odd things to get more drink. And today I have, just a huge amount of freedom. I have a great relationship with my family, friends. I confidence in myself. The biggest good relationship I have is with myself. I have never had that in my life before, and now I have kind of courage to accept my own opinions and to police myself, which is good because I've met quite a few police already. I don't want to meet any more. But to police my own behaviour, my own action, recognise any threats or triggers that may, you know, disturb my equilibrium, and keep my emotions in check. And it's not the program is absolutely wonderful. The women, the men, everybody I've met there, I go to at least a meeting every 2 days. But complementary things, like I still have to take medication, which is fine. I do meditation, which is difficult, but I'm getting into it. And exercise, which all these things help me feel better about myself, which helps me feel better about staying as myself and takes away the need to take a drink. Because all I was escaping was myself. That's what I wanted, freedom from myself. And now I don't need freedom myself, and I don't need freedom from my life, but I do enjoy a huge amount of freedom just because I'm not enslaved by this horrible alcohol drug that it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Rosie. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in, and they've been sharing their experience, strength and hope about our journeys of recovery from alcoholism. Now, if you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, there are a couple of things you can do. You can log on to aa.org.nz and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area, where we have about 140-odd each week. It also will give you a list of meetings right throughout the country as well. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting now with a serenity prayer.
Thanks, Dave.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.